Greetings, friends. Tyler here. Just wanted to do this extra series on discharging debt and acceptance for value. And obviously, there's a lot of misinformation around out there, and there's so many people that have so many variety of beliefs and expectations about these procedures that in our research and development experience and observations have are really misconceptions. So, you know, once again, you know, we run a website that gets about 1,000 visitors a day, and we get hundreds of emails a week, and we get 30, 40, 50 phone calls a day. And I'm just sharing with you based on the quantity of the amount of feedback that we've been able to get with a website over 5 years, getting a lot of calls and a lot of emails and a lot of feedback. So what we found, and just at our higher level of understanding these principles and doing them so many times, I'm just trying to save you, free to you, I'm just trying to save you the time and to counter any wild expectations, because there's quite a number of people that have wild expectations, and hopefully try to get everybody on the same page so that we don't have to keep having the same conversation with first-time callers who have, you know, incorrect information. Okay, so in this audio, I'm just going to talk about one concept. Many people believe that when you use the HJR 192 technology and when you are discharging the debt, many people have the belief or hope or expectation that there's all this money in some account that the government has, and there's millions or billions of dollars in an account, and that all you have to do is access that account, and the part of the monies, part of the units, will get paid to the other party. The other party will accept it just like it's a payment, and they will, if, you know, quickly and efficiently and immediately credit it as a payment, and it'll come to them just like any other payment, and they will credit your account accordingly. And so that's not the case. That's not really how it works. We have an audio on our newsletter called, I believe it's called Why You Can't Cash In Your Birth Certificate. And this explains how the birth certificate has no cash value, has no face value, and it's just a certificate of title, which is ownership. So, and there's also there's also missing information on it that there otherwise might be on a regular certificate of title. But that's not the purpose of this. The purpose of this is just to explain that there's no face value, there's no dollar amount on it. That's not to say that just because there isn't a dollar amount on it, you know, maybe they're not, you know, I just mentioned that they don't put all the information on it. But there is no cash value. There is no value to the birth certificate in and of itself as far as currency goes. Now, there may be an asset there that it represents, just like the certificate of title to your to an automobile, or to any vessel, boat, etc. It represents an asset that may have a monetary currency value if liquidated, leaned, or sold, or assigned in part or in full. If you were going to take out a mortgage on that asset, be it a home, car, or whatever, of course, you may be able to get credit based on a lien being placed on that asset, or based on selling it outright and transferring the title outright. So, you know, the title document in and of itself doesn't have a face value. Okay, so why is this important? So many people believe that when you're discharging a debt using the HJR 192 procedure, strategy, asserting those rights in HJR 192 to require the discharge of public debt that you've delivered to the Secretary of Treasury as per the receivership and the U.S. corporation bankruptcy. When you have a corporation that's going into bankruptcy and you have debt that's being discharged in a bankruptcy, just like an individual going into bankruptcy, the debts being discharged in a bankruptcy do not mean that there's any credits, units, or currency that's being sent to the creditor or to the company that you owe the debt to. When you get a discharge, the debts are canceled and the companies are, and many times the companies are shit out of luck, okay? So you gotta understand, discharging related to a bankruptcy doesn't mean necessarily that anybody gets paid. Now, there's so many theories and there's so many people that are gonna still hold on to that hope that that's how it works. But here's one way that we can definitively discover which theory is correct. Can you really pull out money from the birth certificate trust account? Is there really an account that the government has that you can access, or you can order them to allot some of the credits, some of the units, in order to pay the other party? Here's a way that you would find out. Create a debt between you and one of your colleagues or one of your friends or some other business or another individual, someone that maybe you have kind of a good acquaintanceship or a friendship or some access to contact and speak with personally. So they could be a friend of yours or at least be on a friendly relationship with you. Or you can just create a brand new contract with you and a buddy of yours, or you and one of your pals, one of your drinking buddies. So you and one of your drinking buddies sign this contract, and you know your friend promises to pay you, or the other way around, you promise to pay your friend, you know, $2 million or $200,000 or $10,000 or whatever in exchange for, you know, I don't know, shares or ownership of a new LLC that they started, or a new business idea, or if you want to, you know, buy an automobile off of your friend in exchange for a highly overpriced amount or for whatever amount. So you do this exchange, you do this contract, and you say, I'm going to give you this and you're going to give me this. And instead of actually giving them the a check with, you know, certified funds behind it, or instead of giving them Federal Reserve notes, you know, you can give them a promissory note, or you can give them part of the funds in Federal Reserve notes, or part of the funds in gold and silver, and you still have this outstanding balance that you owe them. So if you still have this outstanding balance that you owe them and it's all documented, come up with a schedule of when it's to be paid by. Say 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, whatever. And now you don't pay that. So your friend will send you a default notice, or your friend will send you a debt collection letter, and then finally a default notice. And now what you believe that you can do, or I suppose you could try to do this before there's a default notice, but do whatever you think is the appropriate thing to do to access your government account with all this birth certificate trust money in it, and go do that process, whether you're sending something to Treasury in the U.S., you're sending something to Treasury in Puerto Rico, you're sending something to Federal Reserve or elsewhere, whatever your source of information that you've been following, that you believe in so deeply, or that you believe that is the accurate, correct source of this information. So let's say that you've decided to send this to the Secretary of Treasury in Puerto Rico. So go ahead and, or there's many of you that are sending to IRS offices in Ogden, Utah, or elsewhere. There's a lot of information from 10 years ago talking about that, and people are still doing these things even though they clearly there's no results and there's no effect that's occurring. I can tell you that from the number of people that call us every single day and tell us, why isn't this working? I went on this webinar from 12 years ago and it said to do this, and I did this and nothing's happening. Well, okay, why don't you, whatever you feel is the current technology, the current address, the current instructions in order to access your credit that you know, in this government account that you believe, go ahead and do it. And if it doesn't work, go ahead and send it to another address. Or if it doesn't work, go ahead and send it to another address. And keep on doing this until your friend, the individual or the company that you owed the debt to, until they get paid. And when your friend calls you and says, hey, this thing actually worked, I actually got paid, you know, then you'll know that it works, right? So once he calls you and says, hey, you know that $1 million loan that I gave you? I just got $1 million deposited into my bank account from some trust treasury account. So it must have worked. And so look at the bank statements, or look at whatever method that they got paid allegedly from your birth certificate credit, and then you will know that this worked. And then once you see that this worked, go and do it all over again and create a contract with the same friend or another family member or another business associate or another so on and so forth, and sign a promissory note where you promise to pay, you know, $100 million or $30 billion to this other party, or whatever amount that you know, whatever amount. Create some high number, sign some promissory note, sign all the contracts, make it all, you know, all the components of a contract to be legit, and make it a legit contract. And then again, whether you believe that you don't need to default on it and you can be current on the account, or whether you believe that you need to be in default on it, do the process again and try to see if your friend gets $100 million credit deposited into his bank account, and then you do the same so that you get a $100 million or a $30 billion credit deposited into your bank accounts. And folks, this is not going to happen. You can try it, and when it happens, maybe you can call me and say, thank you, Tyler, for giving me this idea, and although you said it wasn't going to work, it actually did work, and I want to come back and thank you for being so critical and articulating how we could test the theory, and I want to come back and share with you what happened. And then therefore, if you come and share with me what happened, I'd be glad to put it on my website and have every website visitor copy the process, and everybody will be rich and happy, and we'll all be able to retire and skip to the end of the rainbow, and have all of our problems solved that can be fixed with money. Any problem that can be fixed with money in any of our lives will all have fixed in about 30 days or so, right? So go ahead, and if you would like to try that. Now another thing is with some people, to test it even further, okay, if it worked or it didn't work on you and a private individual having a contract, and you say, oh, well, this must be done through a company. Well, find a friend that has a company or you have a company and you do the contract with a corporation or with an LLC and see if it works. Another way you can test it is to do a court case. So you have your company or you're an individual and you have a contract with another party, and the other party sues you for not, or whichever way you sue or the other party sues you and gets a default judgment, and you win the court case and you get the clerk of the court or the magistrate judge or whatever to sign an order that the other party owes you, you know, X amount of millions of dollars or X amount of hundreds of thousands of dollars. If you know the other party and you're testing this, obviously the other party's not going to contest the lawsuit and you're just going to get a default judgment. Then take the certified copy of the judgment, accept it for value or whatever, mail it to whatever IRS address that whatever information you're following tells you to do it, and then see if you've got this or court-ordered judgment dollar amount that is going to be credited when you do this set-off credit, birth certificate, trust credit account process. And I guarantee you it won't work. However, if it does, then you have, you know, maybe you have me to thank for challenging you to actually put it to the test. And if it does work, please let me know about it. I'm telling you I confidently that it's not going to work. However, if some of you wish to go test it, you know, I'm not gonna I'm not trying to insult anybody's intelligence. If you would like to test it, go ahead and test it. I just, you know, humbly so, I just know it's not going to work. However, if you'd like to test it, go ahead and test it. It has been tested before, but if you want to test it again so that you can learn from the experience that it doesn't work, that's great. And here's the bottom line. You can, if you're a proper, full-fledged, secured party creditor, you can, and I have seen, and it has worked, and it still does work, you can discharge or extinguish or cancel the debt, but the other party is not going to get paid any currency, units, credits, US dollars, in any sort of a transaction. And this is, again, just based on our experience. If anybody has any new information that they like to share, you know, in confidence or in private, and have it not be posted to any website, or if they just want to help as many people as possible and share an alternative experience, that's fine. I'd be happy to review it and look at it, and I'd be happy to honor whatever requests come along with that, and that's fine. However, if that sort of a process was duplicatable and everybody can copy it and do it, don't you just think that everybody would be signing, you know, $30 billion contracts with their friends and then suing each other, and then A for V-ing the judgments, and then sending the $30 billion credits to the judgment creditors, and then having their friends give them half of it, or do the process vice versa back to the other party. And everybody in a 30, 60, 90, 180 day period would have tens of billions of dollars, and it kind of would take off like, you know, like patty cakes, right? So anyways, the point is that if you can create a theory or a hypothesis, you should be able to test the theory or hypothesis and then observe the results and be able to make a conclusion about it. If it happens more than once in a row, you are definitely onto something. If something happens one time, or it appears to, you know, there's a document floating around out there about, you know, an AT&T bill where the AT&T company writes a letter back and says, yeah, we've successfully received a credit from your Treasury Direct account to pay your AT&T balance bill. I'm sure many of you have seen that before. And I may have, you know, years ago I may have kept that document and shared it with people in order to show them, hey, there might be something to this. But as years go on, you learn more, and some of the things that you thought was a smoking gun, it turns out that you were misled. So if you're holding on to that AT&T letter, and I haven't seen a lot of other letters where any companies are saying, you know, thank you for your U.S., you know, your Treasury direct payment. So it's suspect that there's only, you know, one or two examples of this. But for those of you who don't know and you don't have a wide expansion of, you know, research into, you know, finance and securities investing and investing in government savings bonds and various different areas of finance, you know, the U.S. Treasury does offer Treasury direct accounts. They do have the forms to fill out on their website. And what a Treasury direct account is, I mean, you may even inadvertently have some family members that have U.S. Treasury direct accounts. There's nothing special about this. There's nothing related to sovereignty or HJR 192 or any of this, you know, private public. There's nothing special related to this. This is if you are looking to buy government savings bonds and things of that nature. If you're looking to have transactions with the Treasury in any financial dealings, loans, again, one of the most popular items is if you're looking to buy government savings bonds, which have been, you know, around for a long time. You know, back in the World War II, the government sold government savings bonds. And you would give the government, you know, $10,000, and in, 10 years, it would be worth double the amount. This is the way that the governments have raised money from its citizens in order to fund wars that it was involved in that it couldn't pay in throughout history. And all governments, Western governments and things of that nature, have done this. There's nothing related to any special, there's no secret here. This is written in textbooks. This is just mainstream history, okay? So, you know, just because you find these forms or instructions on how to set up a Treasury direct account, all it is a bank account. It's a government bank account where you can buy and sell government savings bonds and other securities, and the funds will be deposited directly into the government treasury. It's called the Treasury Direct Account. So you see, there's nothing special here, and when you see a letter from AT&T or anyone else that says, thank you for your payment, or we received your payment or your credit from your Treasury Direct Account, it's probably related to these Treasury direct accounts that any of us can set up by following the proper instructions and doing so. When you set up this account, there's not going to be any money in it other than the money that you deposit in it and or things of that nature. So again, there's lots of people jumping off their seat, jumping up and down, you know, getting in hot air balloons and going, you know, miles into the sky, being super, super, super excited. And I mean, we had one caller call and say, oh, I'm so glad to find this information and blah, blah, blah. This is so, you know, I can barely sleep at night and I'm just spending 10 hours a day researching this and I can't wait to, you know, start doing these documents and da, 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 da. And I can't wait. And my, you know, I'm just planning for my family to have the best Christmas ever. And unfortunately, and I hate to burst people's bubble, but you know, our first goal is to bring people back to reality. Okay, if you're thinking that you're gonna buy everybody in your family and friends, you know, tens of thousands of dollars of Christmas gifts each, because you'll, you know, and you'll put it on all your current credit cards, and then you'll just discharge your credit cards, and you're gonna get, you know, access to your millions of dollars from your Treasury account with your birth certificate and all this stuff. we're trying to prevent people from making mistakes here, right? We're trying to prevent people from overspending and going further into debt, and then later on learning that this stuff isn't as it's being portrayed on certain presentations, YouTube videos, or elsewhere. So anyways, I hope that you got value, or you can share this with somebody who is jumping off their seat, not able to sleep at night, and bring them back to reality. There is procedures where you can discharge or extinguish certain public debts that you have if you are a proper secured party creditor. And if you're interested in learning about that, you can contact us at Understand Contract Law. You can join the Status Correction course. You can get on our free email newsletter. Whichever level of being involved with us you resonate with at this current time. Obviously, the more we have an email list of about 9,000 plus people. So we have closer relationship with the people who become paid members and make a donation to do the SPC Done With You or to do the Status Correction course, and the people that we get to know a little bit and interact with and walk through some of the basic foundational processes or other processes. So obviously if you send some donation our way in exchange for something, you'll have the ability to talk longer one-on-one, ask questions, get a separate email address to ask questions whenever you want, things like that, because we can't be answering emails all day from 9,000 people on our email list, and we can't be inviting 9,000 people onto a webinar and things like that. But if you don't have a lot of funds right now, or you don't have any needs right now, or you're just reviewing the information, just join our free email newsletter. Just go to understandcontractlawandyouwin.com and scroll down until you see that green and gray and white box, and fill in the box and put your name, email, phone number, and check off the area of interest that you're the most interested in. So you can join for free, confirm your subscription, and you will receive some free audio lessons that are not posted on our website. So that's number one. If you have any difficulties signing up, or you can't find the sign up box, try using a different web browser. Some people have trouble finding the sign up box when they're in private browsing, or when they're in Mozilla versus Google Chrome versus Internet Explorer. So just make sure that you see the sign up. Stay tuned to our announcement list below on the right side of the page or somewhere else on our page, and just sign up. Now there's a lot of free information. You can click around under webinar replay, under A4B doesn't work, under SPC done with you, under debt discharge. There's a lot of free information on the website as well that you can start with. And if you click around on our website, you can also find our phone number. We want people to read enough of the information on the site and dig a little bit before they even find our phone number, because we want people to be on the same page, read some of the free information before they call, so that we're not on the phone with 50 callers a day answering questions that we already have answered. So please, we welcome you to call, just review some of the main information on our website, join our newsletter, and then you're welcome to call and let us know what you're interested in, or pick our brain, or just ask us some direct questions so we can give you some answers. Our goal here at UCL is to give people the honest, upfront answers, expectations, and disclaimers, so that you can decide if this is something that you want to, everybody's time is extremely valuable. Everybody's money and contributions and what they can afford to pay for, procedures and instructions and one-on-one coaching, and everyone's money and their time is extraordinarily valuable. So we don't want to, disrespect anybody's time or money and then cause them to regret it later on and say, oh, I wasted my time and I can't do the things that I thought I can do with this. So make sure that you review the information on our site, If you have some questions for us, there's no charge. You can call and ask some direct, you know, short questions to us if anything is not answered on the website. And we welcome you to explore our site, get on our newsletter. You will get our access to our phone number. You'll get access to our email list. And that's it. So, hey, if anybody has any other, you know, questions and they'd like to have any more trainings when you're a member, you can ask questions in email. And if we think it's a common question or a question that other people need answered as well, we will answer a lot of the questions in our newsletters. If you're on our email list, you'll get access to a weekly audio lesson that could be between half an hour and 2 hours or so long. So this is Tyler signing off, and God bless everybody.